Welcome to a podcast about Gawler Underground, because Gawler has quite another town almost, doesn't it, underground? There's a lot of secret spaces. And the three people here are all experts, have done an exhibition featuring some of those secret spaces. So just welcome Erin, Alan and Daniel. And now I'm just going to let you talk.
All right.
So if you'd like to talk about...
Well, I can sort of tell you what the exhibition is now and how it kind of stands. So the exhibition is called Gawler Underground. It's not a particularly clever name, but we did workshop quite a few names. Yeah. But it's basically an exploration of different basements and cellars in Gawler. We've gone down and over the past couple of years, we've photographed them and then we've tried to have some real good stories and information behind them and have some artists as well. So we really wanted to do something special for the History Festival.
The hidden streets, even up on Murray Street, which always fascinated me because I grew up in Ballarat where there's a similar situation and buried shop finds plus the cellars. And
yeah, look, it all started with just being in one basement, and then someone planted the seed of, you know, that most of Murray Street has basements and cellars.
Yes.
Yeah. And I had no idea whatsoever. So then
I knew that just as a child, my mum worked on the gasworks on the main street. Very so cool. We'd go down to the basement and we'd see it, and it was one of the well taken care of ones, but I knew. And then
I think as a kid it would have been a real fascination.
Oh yeah, for sure. For sure.
That's kind of what we knew that we could bring to this exhibition, was a real fascination. There is something amazing, I guess, about going down into a spooky basement.
Well, we're in a spooky basement.
We are too.
Recording in one of those spooky basements.
We are underground in Gawler.
Yes.
So what I wanted to do with this exhibition was feature my photography and also have some real awesome history stories and information, which is why we've brought Alan along. And then I wanted to involve some amazing artists. And that's why we've got Erin and a couple of others.
So maybe if each of you talks a little bit about what you've done for this exhibition and your background as well.
Oh, yeah, my background. So, yeah, I'm a local watercolour artist, just emerging, but yes, quite skilled now, I'd say, which is nice. So I'm growing big time at the moment. So I just did some exterior paintings. So one of the basements I went into was Rodale and Rodale, which was very interesting. Actually, I went there with Alan and Daniel.
One of the first.
Was not technically a basement. It was a water tank, which was a security system. Alan can touch on that because that's his expertise. But that was a very interesting space. Just the whole building, really. But no, I grew up in Gawler, so it's always been interesting to have a little look around at local spots themselves. It's a pretty cool town, really. I like Gawler.
We felt like in the early days I discussed this with Alan, and we really wanted to have some of the artists come along into these basements. Yes. Filming pieces down there was also a great excuse just to go back down into these places. But yeah, having the artists there, whether they were holding a camera or just hanging around, was part of the experience for all of us.
And you should probably also mention they weren't all basements. One was the upper level of the Union Mill, which was for producing flour.
Mm-hmm.
So that one was actually a little bit dangerous in some aspects.
I didn't go to that one.
There's holes in the floor from where the machinery used to be.
Right.
And there is still little bits of machinery here and there.
Okay.
So you had to kind of dodge holes and be aware of that. You know, if you stepped in the wrong spot, you might fall four stories to your death. But yeah, that's a super interesting building. It's one that not many people get to go upstairs in at all.
No, I've always looked at those windows and wondered what was behind them.
Mm.
Yeah, again, that's kind of how it all started. I photographed one basement a while ago, and I'm struggling to remember why. I think it might have been the Gawler Youth. We were planning to go show them something exciting, so we ended up in a basement. And then through the years, I've ended up at the top of the Union Mill there at the end of Murray Street, or the start of Murray Street, and I thought that that location and the pictures were far too good to not talk about. It's not a basement at all, but it's a spot that people don't really get to go see, and again, all the amazing history behind that building.
Yes. Another one I believe is quite interesting, I've heard stories at the old cinema, which is on the corner just down here. Apparently, if you go upstairs, I don't know if it's still the case, 20, 30 years ago, you could still see remains of the balconies.
Is that where the Cartridge World.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So if you go into the back to Skysy's Cakes, you can see the original ceiling.
You can in Skysy's.
When I was a kid, Movie Land was next door. It was Video One, I think it was called.
Right.
And you could go upstairs back then.
Right.
And I mean, I was like 8 or 9, and I'm pretty sure you could see the balcony from then.
Yes.
But that shop would now be part of, is it Java Hut that's there?
Mm-hmm.
I think, yeah, I think Java Hut's taken that shop over. I don't think you can see any of it anymore. Pretty sure it's all inaccessible now. If it's still there, like it might not even be there. It may not
be still there.
What Alan's just talked about there, that the history of the building is what we really wanted to have Alan to come along, because one sticking point I found with exhibiting my pictures is I could show you a picture of a basement and it could be anywhere. Like if I showed you a picture of this room, you wouldn't know where it was unless you'd been in here. So having Alan and filming was a way to sort of really tie it all together and have all those awesome stories.
And these spaces do it. This would have been possibly, you know, someone's bedroom once, because people lived down
here. Not in this bit. So this is the bottom of the town hall.
Right.
So the bottom of the institute, yes, that was a house. So that was the institute librarian's house.
Yes.
And James Beasley was the last one. He lived there for 43 years with his wife, his children, and his mother-in-law. And they moved out in 1927 to Jacob Street, and then it was vacant from then until basically they did it up in 2019, and it was pretty bad in the end.
No, it's been great having Alan along to put context and the knowledge to the places and the people.
Alan's been our knowledge base.
Yes.
If I need something from Gawler, it's either Nathan or Alan. Nathan always says to me, oh, he's good. I'm good to have around. Like, I'm good to have around. Say, Alan, you're good to have around. I don't know how much of a compliment that is, but I don't find it much of a compliment myself.
I can tell you what used to be down here in the 80s. So, obviously, the Gawler Club, which is the snooker, eight ball, billiards club.
Yes.
When I was a kid, my uncles were members of that.
Yeah.
And they were in the room that they're in currently. But these rooms that we're in currently were their storage rooms. So one room was just full of beer. Floor-to-ceiling beer cartons, because they got discounted beer.
Yeah.
So they would come down the front steps that are now closed off through the front of the basement. And then there used to be a door. It's kind of to the left of the building that now goes into the Institute Civic Centre now. That used to just go into a little hallway underground. And that was, unfortunately, at the time, their toilet, because there wasn't an accessible toilet. So it used to smell quite bad. And there used to be a doorway down here that went under the main street, which looked like a jail cell door. And it was always locked and it was always cold.
Is that what you were saying was behind
this? Yeah, so apparently it still exists behind a wall here.
Right.
As far as I'm aware, it was a safety escape route.
Right.
And it went into the main street across the Todd Street. And, yeah, apparently it runs up and down the main street. Kapunda has one as well.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a whole fear of the Russians back in the day.
Right.
Right.
You know, about forts along Port Adelaide, Fort Glanville and all those.
Yes.
They were afraid the Russians would invade. So they also had these tunnels under houses and under main streets so that you could escape if you got invaded. Or if Indigenous people started to burn your house down in revenge, you could escape through the tunnel. That's what the rumour is.
Have all of the tunnels been filled in?
No.
No, I didn't think so.
So there's a famous house in the city, which is called Roseneath.
Okay.
And Roseneath used to have open days and you could actually go in the tunnel.
Oh.
You would fit. Yeah. I probably wouldn't.
Okay.
I would have to crouch down to get in. It's small. And they used to actually let you go in the tunnel on the open garden days.
Right.
But they haven't done it for about probably 8 years now, so I don't know if it's new owners.
Yeah.
So anything in the city square generally has, well, the older ones will have the tunnel.
Yes.
Probably some might be closed off now, but some still exist, and they used to come out around the Torrens.
Yeah, I've seen occasional urban exploration.
Yeah, people still find
I know they're around, but I don't know.
People still find there's a few in Gawler as well. I believe Parapara has one.
I've heard that
too. Not confirmed, but I do know that there are other tunnels around.
Yes.
Some of them I'm not allowed to speak about, but yeah, there are other ones in Gawler.
I've always had rumours that there's tunnels and tunnels under Murray Street.
The main one people know about is the culvert. So under where Carlton Road joins Walker Place, there's a big culvert. That was to stop the water coming down Carlton Road flooding the main street.
Right.
So where it hits, it actually goes partly in front of the Golden Fleece and then it turns into Walker Place and comes out into the river. And when they did Walker Place up, you could actually see it for a while because they had to pull the top off to do the new floor, the new ground and stuff. So, and it's big enough that I could probably stand in it and not touch the ceiling or the walls. Like it's quite large.
Yeah.
And it's all stone and it's all stone and red brick. the very English sewage system looking thing, because it's an English image. Built it. So.
Yes.
Yeah. And that one does actually exist and is kind of accessible if you know how to get into it, but I'm not going to tell you how.
No, obviously not. No, we're not going to dox the tunnels. No, it's so
they will die with me.
Yeah. No flash floods, please.
No. Well, that should stop flash floods in the main street at least.
Yeah. Main
street did get flooded a few times.
I actually have photos of water up near the post office coming out of the river there.
Yeah.
Which means 8th Street was all the way up to around 10th Street underwater.
Yeah.
Really?
I just discovered about 2 days ago that in 1889 a lot of houses were flooded out in Gawler.
I haven't seen one in a few years now.
Yeah, 16, because everyone was playing Pokemon Go around the last one, I think.
Since they built the flood mitigation system out on Concordia, they haven't really had a big one. Yeah. The 100-year floods haven't happened, so.
Yeah.
But that's not to say they won't come down south. Yeah, well, they do come down the South Para now and flood Dead Man's Pass, but they're not like they were.
Mm-mm.
I think 1983 was the last big one where they washed the caravan park away.
Yeah.
Now we're totally on another subject too.
We are. We're underground. That's okay. I love a detour. Yeah.
Digression.
Yes, I'm happy with that.
Yes.
Still cool.
But you'd have to think, in the same context, some of these basements would have flooded back in the day.
Oh, yes. Sure.
And that would have been a nightmare draining them.
Mm. Absolutely.
Tank, I guess I should give that context.
Yeah.
So in the 1850s, the security system for Redale and Dale, because it was built as the Bank of South Australia, I believe it was, instead of having, you know, security alarms like we have, the vault was built in the middle of the building with only one access point, and to stop you digging up from underground, they put a rainwater tank right underneath it. So if you dug under the building to get up into the vault, you would hit the water tank and get flooded out. And that's the actual thing we went into is the water tank.
Yeah.
So it's really deep. It's quite wide. Oddly, it was very dry.
It was an interesting climate in there because there's so many artefacts and they just look perfectly preserved.
Everything's covered in dust.
Yes.
And I'm pretty sure if you pulled that dust away, things would start to rot.
Mm.
But because of that dust that's at least 100 years old, it's preserved things. And there was only, I remember seeing one mouse carcass.
Yeah.
That was only one. And I actually heard recently how they discovered that particular room, because no one knew it existed.
Oh, really?
So a local lawyer that I know who doesn't work for Redale and Redale, he was working there about 15 years ago, and he was in the records room, which is right above that tank, and he pulled down a file and he accidentally dropped someone's will and it went through a crack in the floor. And the floor is a bluestone slate, and he thought that was very odd. So he called in the boss and they pulled back the bluestone slate and found the entryway.
Yeah.
No one knew it was there. They had no idea it existed. And then that opened up the whole, wow, what is all this down here?
Yeah.
And they had to get a ladder and they had to find a ladder big enough to get down there.
Yeah.
And it took some time. And
it's a big drop.
Very deep.
And then when they got down there, they were like, wow, what is all this stuff? And it turns out it's all from around 1892.
Oh, okay.
So a lot of it hadn't been seen for almost, well, over 100 years.
So
no one knew it was there.
Earlier than 1892, do you know?
There is. They don't know when all this stuff was put down there. So some of the stuff that we looked at was bank ledgers going back to, I think, the 1860s.
Right.
The one thing we pulled out was definitely 1892. That was a photo of a man whose surname I think was Green from memory. And we actually pulled out a photo that no one had seen, and I gave it to Jacinta at the Heritage Centre, and they've done a little bit of research and discovered that he was a soldier after that point in time. But then he just kind of disappears out of history, which is weird in itself.
The tunnels.
Well, yeah. Maybe he's underground.
Yeah.
I was told very early when I thought about doing this, well, it wasn't even an exhibition then when I first went into Redale and Redale, but someone said, you have to go into Redale and Redale because I think they may have mentioned a water tank, and I'm like, well, that doesn't sound very fun, but they're like, no, you have to. So got in touch with one of the lawyers at Redale and Redale, and sadly for him, he'd put his back out the day before, but I had to go in there and lift up this slate thing that was extremely heavy.
Oh, yes.
And then we had to cart a ladder from upstairs all the way downstairs and then extend it. And it's probably a bit bigger than this room, but twice as high, I'd say.
We have one under our house and it scares me.
Yeah, and when I got down there, I was just absolutely floored because, like Helen said, around the whole edge is just documents and ledgers and suitcases. So, like Helen said, we found stuff maybe from the 1850s, 1860s, but then there was like a woman's day from the 1960s. So I'm not sure how that got down there. And why. And even the lawyers there, they can't really explain why that stuff is down there.
And things seem to be placed, not dropped.
Yes.
They weren't just dropped in there like you'd expect. Someone's just opened the lid and just
And there was
down.
All these lock boxes. There was an old clock down there as well. Like just.
I think there's some records down there that I really need to see for court cases.
There was a bit of talk that some of that stuff might be down there because it may have some interesting history or ramifications of people that helped build this town. Or look, who knows why it's down there, but there is a bit of talk about it being brought back up to the surface and taken across the road to the Cultural Heritage Centre.
I've got my fingers crossed for that.
They promised to take me on board when that happens, so I think we haven't seen the last of that particular place. And all these basements and attics and lofts that we've seen, as far as I'm aware, no one's been in there since and no one will be in there for a while, so they just kind of sit there. What I should probably do is just tell you the ones that are featured in the exhibition. So all up, I've probably visited about 9 or 10 basements up and down the main street, but we've only featured 6 here. Yeah. So we've been to the Piles building, which is the giant building opposite the Exchange Hotel. We've been to the Prince Albert Hotel. We've been to Imprint Flowers. We've been to the Union Mill.
6 Porter Street.
We've been to 6 Porter Street, which is the old Good Samaritans. And Rudau and Rudau, yes.
So what was the Good Samaritans, 6 Porter Street?
So look, I got in contact with the owner a while ago, and it wasn't to go to the basement. It was to check out the old Good Samaritans building. Maybe I'll tell you about the basement, and then Alan can go into the history of the building, because he's all over that.
Right.
The basement in 6 Porter Street, again, was just another excuse to go and explore, and I think a lot of us went that time. There was only 1 or 2 people that of the artists and people involved that couldn't make it, and their basement, well, maybe is a little bit bigger than this room. It's tiny, it's cramped, it's probably about 6 feet high, and again, that was a building that had a very boring basement, should I say, but just being in that space, being in the building was absolutely amazing because there's such a varied and long history behind that building.
Would have been a challenge as a photographer photographing in such a small space.
It is, which is why that basement isn't actually featured here. I've got pictures of the building.
I painted the building.
But yeah, let Alan tell you about
it. You do have a picture of the organ that's down in there. So that's the organ in the photo. So 6 Porter Street was built in 1910. It was built as St. Joseph's Convent for the Good Samaritans.
Nice.
The original convent is at 4 Porter Street, and the original one has ties to St. Mary MacKillop. So the nuns were basically teaching music and elocution and all those kinds of things, and they needed a bigger place to do that. So they built 6 Porter Street as it's 2 stories. It has a chapel upstairs, a full working chapel. So originally when they started it, the nuns lived on site. And they had boarding rooms for girls. So I think there's 6 boarding rooms along the eastern side. No, sorry, it's the northern side. So the girls lived on site. Later on, they allowed boys. And then once they allowed boys in to be taught, they didn't have people staying there as often. So you had the Catholic Church next to it on Parnell Square.
Yes, yeah.
Across the road, you have the basketball courts and another little school. Mm-hmm. So they kind of work between the couple of buildings.
Yeah.
You'll find a lot of people in Gawler of around 60-year-olds and older went to that school. I work in the library and I have quite a few people tell me that they spent a lot of time in there and they told me how harsh the nuns could be. So if you live there and you work there as a child, things that were a reward was you got to polish the staircase or you got to ring the Angelus bell. They were rewards. So you can imagine how harsh things would have been. Yeah. They had someone quite famous come out of there, a gentleman named Brenton Langbein. And if you know the Barossa Valley, there's the Langbein Theatre named after him.
Yes.
He went on to be a classical musician and he played with the, I can't think exactly what they're called, It's the Swiss Symphony Orchestra. Mm. And, yeah, he became world famous as a recording artist. He was first chair and all these other things. But, yeah, he got his first lessons of violin in that building.
Was he, like, a student in that?
Yeah, yeah. So there's photos of him as a little boy, and he won all the Ducks Awards, everything, like, he's top of the class, and then, yeah, he became internationally famous. Mm. The convent shut in 1971. They moved to Adelaide Road, and they sold the building in 1972 to the Zizamu family. So the Zizamus... So it was Christos and Mavis and their three sons. Mavis kind of opened the building as like a, I'm not sure what you'd call it. She basically let people come and live there for free, and she helped them get off drugs and change their lives and all that kind of stuff. And she did that for quite some time until she eventually passed away in, I think, the 90s. And then her sons lived there. They also owned the original convent next door. So one son lived in that, and then the other two boys had the Port Street convent. And they went on and formed the famous band called Escape. And Escape were just about to break internationally. They had met people like Blackie Lawless from Wasp and Stevie Ray Vaughan and all these famous musicians who were lauding how great they were. And they had a serious car accident that ruined their careers. And John, who people would know as John the Beast, who was a giant man, his injuries were so horrific that around, what do we say, 30 years later, they were the reason that he died. So he couldn't get on stage and things like that anymore because his injuries were just... You know, he'd hurt his back, hurt his brain damage, all kinds of stuff. And he was also a giant man. He was about 6'8", huge man. So trying to deal with those injuries, being the size he was, just complicated things even further. But that's not to say they didn't try. So they started at least three or four other bands. One was called Blistered Palms. They recorded a couple of albums, and then I can't think of the other names. Until, yeah, John passed away. A lot of people in Gawler will remember John the Beast because he was a nurse here. There's also a classic story of when Gawler Records was around in the main street. On certain days, John would just be in there, and if a new album come out and a kid come in and wanted to buy the album, he would buy the album for them just out of his own money because he was just very generous and he wanted to share the gift of music to people. He was also known as a bouncer. So he was a bouncer in the city, but he was also a bouncer at the Union Mill when there used to be a nightclub in there. So that ties another two of our places together.
Yeah.
And then in, I believe it was, 3 years ago, so about 2022, Anthony, the younger brother, he passed away. So the building was sold and Naomi Rutten bought it, and she's turning into a wellness centre very slowly. Very expensive building to do up because it is heritage listed and she has to abide by those rules.
Yes.
But the building has changed quite dramatically inside. She spent a lot of money and a lot of time making sure it's looked after. She's doing the work that needs to be done, but it's costly, so she needs all the help she can get. But, I mean, it'll take time and money, but it will get there, and it'll be a building that will be treasured once it's reopened.
I think I met, it might have been Anthony, I think I met one of the brothers once,
right,
back in the 90s.
Yep.
And I think they'd just inherited it then, and they needed to spend a lot of money on it, and they didn't have...
Yep.
The money to spend to do it.
It almost feels like it's come full circle for that building.
Yes.
You know, I guess back in the day, apart from the strict nuns, but it would have been a place of, dare I say, peace and looking after people and all that. And
that was the idea behind it, at least, even if it didn't always.
And even when the Zizmus were in there, you know, Mavis was nice enough to help people and let them in.
And it's always had that link to music. So part of what Naomi would do is music therapy and art therapy.
Yes.
Yeah. So it ties it back to its original purpose, which is good. So,
rooms filled with empty. What's happened to you?
So what Alan's just told us is one of the stories of the building, and he's done that for every building. We've gone back into every basement and filmed these mini documentaries that go for about 7 or 8 minutes. And then what we've done is if the artists have come along and they've listened to those stories and watched the videos, and then they've pieced it together and drawn their, I guess, their own inspiration of all those stories, which is where good old Erin comes along, and she's a proper artist.
Oh.
And can tell you all about the techniques of, well, just, I guess, listening to something and forming an idea and coming up with whatever.
Yeah, no, because I mean, such beautiful buildings in general, really. And it was great to get in there and have an explore, because you don't get that opportunity very often.
We're very blessed.
We were blessed, absolutely. Yeah, no, it was great. I did one of the Good Samaritans building. I have a nun looking down at a younger girl with a bonnet because Alan was so generous and sent me some pictures of what was their outfits, what they would have worn in the time as well. And I've kind of used the bit of a ghostly appearance to them as well, so I've really faded it out. And it was beautiful, beautiful subject to paint. Yeah. And I did the Rodel building as well, so I stylized that one a bit as well. So it's a washed, but no, it was beautiful to paint.
We found that every building, every basement that we've been into has had some kind of story, some interesting factoid or person that used to live there. And then, the artists have been able to sort of, like I said, draw inspiration from those things and come up with some absolutely amazing images. I might explain just how the exhibition sort of runs. So our exhibition started May and finishes end of June. The idea is that people can come along and look at all the photography and the artwork on the wall outside the cafe in the Civic Centre, but they can also take a little postcard home with them, and on the back of that postcard is a QR code which will then take you to the videos with Alan and I exploring all these basements. So it's kind of like a big multimedia project, and it's all come together very well, and we're quite happy with how it's turned out. And who knows, maybe 2027 maybe we'll do it all again, because there's so many more basements to explore.
It's a lot more basements and stories and tunnels.
Tunnels would be we have to pry it out of Alan.
I don't think he can.
Maybe.
Dad's his secrets well.
That's right.
Yes, that's right. Enough chocolate, though.
Kinder surprise for you.
No, unfortunately, some of those tunnels are controlled by government agencies, and you would need to get their permission, and that would be an absolute nightmare even trying to do that.
Yes.
And, I mean, some of them, they might think about it, but then they wouldn't want people going and exploring on their own, because...
Yeah.
You may be able to get in there, you know. People find a way, unfortunately. And if you follow any of the urban exploring groups, which I follow quite a lot, they always find a way.
They do.
And sometimes it's not legal.
No.
And then once they're out publicly.
Exactly.
And they're exposed.
Exactly. You then, ruin the preservation of the space. Because that's my interest. It's going somewhere that's not seen and leave it as you found it versus you post it and like, oh, look at me, I'm on TikTok.
Yep. And then you get a thousand people
and
down there.
And then it's all graffitied and it's ruined the beauty. And
Yes. And unfortunately, some of the places in Gawler would, be destroyed pretty quickly.
Yeah, absolutely.
So as I said, we have been very blessed with the owners of these basements giving us opportunities to get down there. I don't think any of them are easily accessible to the general public.
No, which is probably a good thing.
Yeah, and we've fielded enough questions about tours and going down there. And, you know, as I say to everybody, if you want to go look at a basement, maybe you just need to go and ask someone, because I can't help you.
And some of them, the public just wouldn't be able to get in there. Rodel and Rodel, there's just no way.
I mean, we did the exhibition last year underneath the flower shop in Imprint Flowers. Yeah. And the whole point was you could come down into the basement, which used to be the morgue. It's a very interesting space. And then just watching people come down those stairs, because we're so used to very accessible areas, but you need to crouch and go. I said to people, go backwards down the stairs, and it just didn't click for some people. Mm. And you see multiple people hit their heads and backs and like, trust me, you need to go backwards. And it's just not nice to watch people hurt themselves. And that we're all relatively young and fit. And you're like, oh, I don't think that person should come down. Like, please don't.
And and even like the Prince Albert Hotel, that particular staircase wasn't fun to go down either.
No.
Yeah, you're trying to dodge the glycol machine and all the dirt and everything else.
Oh,
and, and then the actual tunnel itself's not very tall and not very wide.
But that was a fascinating place.
It was a great little building, but there's just no way the public could go in there.
No.
What did they use it for?
So all hotels are pretty much the same. So storing alcohol.
Yes.
And food.
Yes,
So they would have had food down there. But when you look at it, you can see that the barrel roll was on the southern side. Mm-hmm. So the reject shop side. And then it seems like they've added extra basements as it's gone along and expanded. It's kind of a weird setup.
Yeah.
And there's these weird red bricks that don't really make sense in there.
No, they've almost built a wall.
Right.
In front of a wall or something. It's like very newer bricks.
Yeah.
And then as you go through a small tunnel into another room and there's a mound of dirt, and it's like, where did that dirt come from? And
so it's actually archaeology. Archaeology can be above ground as well. So it's definitely archaeology.
I would imagine that the original basement that you go into when you go down the staircase, which is under the bar, which would have been the original barrel roll, was when the building was a single-story building.
Yes.
Then they've demolished that building, and as they've built the second one, they've realised they have to create a bigger basement. And it kind of looks like a doorway right down the other end as well, which may have went up into a staircase.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, there's all these rumours that there was a tunnel that went under the Gawler Arms, which was their competition, so why would they? Yeah. And then a newer story is that there was a tunnel that went up to the Hutchison Hospital on East Terrace. Now, that would be almost impossible.
That's a long, pretty incredible way
up the hill.
Why would you need that? Yeah.
You know, considering Gawler had, what, 13 or more pubs at the time too, why that particular pub?
The doctors didn't want to get cold.
No, that's right. They wanted to just run down there and get their rum. So.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, it kind of doesn't make sense.
No.
And some of the basements I haven't taken these guys into, when you go into these basements and as you get up to the main street, there's usually always a door or a window blocked off. Whether that's for access for people to put down or it's a doorway into a tunnel or another room, who knows? But one of the best basements was Imprint Flowers, and it is a very boring space. It's carpeted, it's white, but there is a particular bookcase there that looks like it's hiding another room, which we would love to get into.
We don't know what's behind it. I haven't been able to come up with the floor plans yet, but that bookcase is definitely in like a nook that was definitely a doorway at some point.
Right.
Whether it was a rear access doorway that has a staircase that you can't see, or it goes into another basement room, you can't tell. So next opportunity we get, we're going to try and have a look. And, well, I've been asking around and I've come across owners that had it in the 80s and they're not even sure what was there, so...
It looks like a doorway with a bookcase shoved in there.
Scooby-Doo-style spinning door.
We should have pressed some buttons.
There was no, like,
because there's no books to... Yeah, there's no secret book to pull. We need to put the lever back on.
Yeah.
And that was also an amazing space because it may have been a morgue at one stage and... Looking through the history of that building, of a morgue and a cafe, secondhand shop, fairy parties, like all sorts. I think it's such a fascinating
spot. That's one of the more fascinating things about that particular shop is when you've shared it on your social media, people have memories of the fairy secrets.
Yeah.
And being down there having their fairy parties and all that kind of stuff. And that's another thing that this has kicked off with people that, you know, I remember this being down in there. So the Piles building had a, what was it called, the Brownstone Jazz Cellar, which was a coffee club with musicians and kind of that whole French beret group.
Yeah.
The word beatniks.
Beatniks,
was thrown around a lot.
And that was 81 to 83, and that's, you know, stirred up all these people. And, oh, I remember going in there, and this is what happened. And so it's brought out all these people that have these memories of Gawler that wouldn't necessarily be shared. And that's another way we're collecting Gawler's history and adding to it as well. Yeah. So
we knew that this particular exhibition would really fascinate people because I mean it's fascinating for us to get to go down there but for people to see what's down there and also relive all the stories because I think maybe apart from the Prince Albert and Redoubt, all of these basements have been used for something like a business in the past, like Alan said, the Jazz Cafe and Fairy Secrets and the old B Music Shop used to be like a little cafe or restaurant and I don't think we've seen the last of some of these basements. I think in the future, a lot of the businesses would like to open them up again and use them for something, whether that's feasible or not, but, you know.
Health and safety.
Health and safety. Yeah, exactly. And some of these basements, some of the ones that I haven't featured have just been full of literal rubbish. So it's where they keep all their receipts and all their boxes and stuff.
Yeah.
But then...
Amongst that, there could be treasures.
Could be.
Yeah.
Could be.
Yeah.
And then over at Tabletop Warfare, the Piles building, they've completely cleaned it out. They've used vacuums to get all the dust and dirt. And it's such a usable space. But whether they can do that...
I think they would love to because it would be fantastic for the...
They would fill that
It's so interesting.
But then you have accessibility issues and what can you change in a heritage building and all that
That's where it gets so complicated. And insurance.
And it becomes expensive. So.
Yeah.
But there has to be workarounds. Like,
yeah.
And I, of all the buildings we went to, I think that one would be the one that the basement would be used for something in the future.
100%.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've got this idea in my head of having a small jazz quartet. Quartet? What do you call three of them? That's not
trio.
Sorry. Trio, quartet, quintet.
Yes.
There you go.
Yeah.
Cinco, ses.
Yes. Having a jazz band down there and having them play their music to a real exclusive audience and, you know, filming that, documenting that, bringing some life back in there and not using any fancy PAs or anything like that. And then, you know, having them play and then outside there's a grate where you can still see into that basement and hearing the sounds coming up. And so I think there is still a future for some of these places.
Well, we're in a basement right now. It's been
Definitely, it's been done.
Yeah. So it's been done here in the Civic Centre. And wonderful, you know, location for the Cultural Heritage Centre.
Definitely, yeah.
In what was the librarian's house.
Yep, yep.
I touched briefly that, you know, we may do something like this again in 2027. There are still lots more basements to explore. I know that I've been offered access to a basement at Ned's and Peter Shearer, maybe the old Bank SA building. If anyone out there can think of any more basements up and down the main street, you know.
Also household, because a lot of the old houses had, well, they all had a cellar.
Yeah.
I know at least of one that still has a cellar.
The problem with private houses, though, is you get people that will want to have a look at the cellar and they may start showing up to the private house and asking, so you kind of have to be careful.
Yes, yeah, that's
what you
put out there.
I think we've also stuck to the main street because a cellar in someone's house probably isn't going to have much of a story if you can find that information too. Whereas back in the day, all of these basements would have been used for something.
Yeah.
There is a couple of private house cellars that would be interesting.
Yeah,
Parapara would be interesting.
Yes.
Tortella House, which is the one across from Drake's, would be interesting. The one that's up on
Craigley.
Oh, yeah, Craigley would be interesting. But also the one that's up near Coles, that's just on, as you go up the hill behind Woolies. I can't think of its name right now. It's the white building that's just been done up. That would have an interesting basement. And then there's a few, like, as you go up Lindock Road on your left, Yenda. Yenda had a bakery, and that whole bit from Pioneer Park all the way up was their property at one point. It's been subdivided.
We might also be getting into the Freemasons.
I was about to say.
Of course, you have the Gawler Cinema has a basement. So in the Gawler Cinema, the original house is still standing as part of the cinema, and that has a basement. I don't remember how you access it. I believe it's through the women's toilets floor, but a part of it lifts up.
Oh, okay.
And you can get into there. But, yeah, there's a few places in the main street. Some of the other pubs too.
Yes, they would all have.
The old Bushmans would definitely have one.
Yes.
The Exchange does, but the Exchange kind of, it's interesting, but.
Yeah, we've been in there. It's more storage, but. Yeah, I think that there definitely are opportunities to carry on. And I think we'd maybe use this one as a proving ground or learning experience to really flesh it out next year, but in 2027. But I'm sure it would still run the same format of photography, art, and some videos to sort of really talk about. Yeah, mixed media.
And of course, we could also look
at podcast.
And podcast. 100%. Maybe we could podcast in a basement.
Yes.
We are.
Other than this basement.
Another basement.
You do have places as well, like in Williston, you have Gawler Books. And that does have a basement.
Cool. Yeah.
That was E.H. Coombs' old house. Yes, so that would have some amazing history. And we could talk to Helen Hennessy or someone like that and get that history from a historian. So.
Well, also she and Shane bought that and restored it. They sold it to Gawler Books, so they own that house. So she knows a lot about the house as well as
I think that particular building will be probably quite soon because I still feel the itch to get down into those places. And look, as well as basements, you know, if we could get onto the second floor of a Westpac or whatever it is, the NAB building. Like,
the one place in the main street out of all of them that I'd like to do is the NAB. I'd just love to see the basement because that definitely has one. And it also has the upstairs straight across the road from the Civic Centre. Has an amazing history, and that would be a fascinating one. And I'm sure everyone in Gawler would love to see inside that bank.
I've never even been in there before.
Not even to go to the bank?
No, I get a credit. And they're not in Gawler anymore. To get a mono.
It's an amazing building. If you just walk into the teller part, just the high ceilings and everything, it's...
Yeah, I think that building and the old Bank SA building, you know...
The old cinema building too would be good.
Yeah, Skysey's Cakes would probably let you have a look around. I don't know if it has a basement though. I reckon it would. But, I mean, I have to ask some of the history team people if they would know.
If we did this again, we may not have to restrict it just to basements. Maybe it could be you know, call it hidden Gawler, of
places.
Hidden spaces that
people don't get to see. Because I think there is a real fascination with it.
Yeah.
And we're lucky enough that we actually get to do it.
I mean, if you did it as a broader thing, you could also feature the clock tower, things like that, that people don't get to go into. I mean, we've had the privilege of going up those stairs, but a lot of people just never go in there, so they don't go up.
I've always wanted to go up the top of that where Petite Pere is.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
got something cycles, right on that?
Yep. That was built as an Odd Fellows Hall.
Oh, okay. Is that why it looks different?
Yeah, so that concrete facade was only in the 60s they put that up.
I would love to see what's behind that facade. It's stone. I wish that could be...
It's stone, kind of rubble stone.
Right.
There is a picture of it before that was put up.
Mm.
Yeah, and it's a rubble stone building.
And we've also been lucky that we've been able to go up the spire of St. George's. Like, there's so many different spaces. Yeah. That
was my favourite.
That was so
cool. It wasn't part of the exhibition technically, but it was still great.
It was.
It could be part of the next one.
Exactly. Yeah.
This has opened it up because a lot of people have said, oh, why don't you just come up the clock tower?
Well, why don't I?
Why not? Yeah, exactly. So we'll wrap it up there for now, and we've got plenty more to talk about.
We'll still discuss how it came about, and there's another small little musical element to this too, and there'll be some more stories about some of the art that some of our amazing local artists have produced.
So that'll be it for this one. Thank you very much. Thank you, Erin, Alan and Daniel.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Thanks for sharing your space. It feels like someone's watching.